How's it going, everybody? NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen and Rob Reese, joined by guest Michael Leboff from the Action Network to talk about the Eastern Conference today on this Thursday morning. Guys, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, feeling good today, Pete. And yet again, another day closer to puck drop. I think we're 1 week away from some exhibition games. And Mike, I got to tee up here because I'm starting to read more reports that there's some injured guys. We got Dougie Hamilton today missing practice for the Carolina Hurricanes. Sidney Crosby's missed a couple days. And now Carter Hart missed a couple days for the Flyers. So when you're trying to handicap some of these Eastern Conference matchups, how big do those kind of injury scares right now? I know it's still a week away, but how does that kind of change your outlook on some of these matchups?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think you're just going to have to you put it right. Like, you're going to have to be in a wait and see mode basically until you get right to like the morning skate before really feeling confident in something. And I think Hamilton, of all the players coming back in from injury, like whether it's Jake Guentzel, whoever you want to name, I actually think Hamilton will have the biggest impact if he's healthy on his team. That's kind of why I like the Hurricane as a punt in the futures market, because I think with him they were a completely different team. Without him, they were a mediocre team. Their underlying stats weren't great, but with him they look like a top five team. He's that important. So I'm gonna be a little nervous. I'm definitely he's the one I'm monitoring the most, just because I'm invested in the Hurricanes to win in a couple different ways. So him not being in practice this morning was not a good thing.
Yeah, the Canes are a long shot to win the Stanley Cup, but of course they got to the Eastern Conference Final last year, and you mentioned they were a different team with Dougie Hamilton. Still some goaltending concerns, whether it's Mrazek or James Reimer, who's another one of those guys, joining Hamilton, joining Sammy Vatanen, coming back from injury after the pause. I mean, when you look at the Metro Division, I mean, is there a team like near the top, like whether it's Pittsburgh or even Philly was close to the lead, Washington? Like, who do you think is the best team to invest in out of those Metro teams, including the Rangers, because the Rangers are really appealing too?
Yeah, I think you have to make a decision if you want to invest in teams that were in good form or not, because they're being priced like there was no pause, which is really interesting to me. Right? They're being priced like this is things were normal, and these teams, you know, the Flyers are still red hot and the Rangers are still red hot. The Rangers should be about, in my mind, they should be in like the 65 range. The team that actually in that division outside the Hurricanes is I'm really interested in the Blue Jackets. They're 65-1 just because they're a hard out. They're like the Islanders kind of were last year, right? Like they turn every game into a coin flip, and they play such a committed defensive game. And they have guys coming back too, you know, not just Seth Jones, but we're like Oliver Bjorkstrand. Like this team should be able to score more, which was their problem. So if they stay true to that defensive identity, which I think with Tortorella you really have no choice. So, and if they get the goaltending they got, I'm pretty confident in that they'll at least give you value at 65-1. My dog,
your dog agrees. Yeah.
Yeah. My dog agrees, really, his name is Elvis actually. And people always think I named him after Elvis Merzlikens.
Oh, wow.
Well, Mike, I was just going to say too, the it's funny because all the offseason turnover the Blue Jackets had, I still view them the same way as I did last year when they had Panarin, when they had Deschene. I don't look at them any differently. And I think it's because you said it best, they're a hard out. The only question I have when it comes to Columbus, is it going to be Elvis Merzlikens in the starter's crease, or is it going to be Korpisalo? If it's Merzlikens, I'm all in on this Blue Jackets team pulling the upset. If it's Korpisalo, I'm just not 100% sold that he's got that next game ability to defeat Toronto on home ice, essentially.
And a couple other things about the Blue Jackets, like Zach Werenski, everybody talks about Seth Jones and his injury return. Werenski led all NHL defensemen with 20 goals this year. They're also getting a slew of players back in terms of role guys that helped them bridge the gap when they lost Duchesne, when they lost Panarin offensively. You know, Josh Anderson was added to the roster. We're not sure if he's going to play, but Texier is another one. They have Emil Bemström, who was healthy and will factor into the top nine forward group. And yeah, Bjorkstrand was a breakout player. He was like in that same mold as like Anthony Mantha, was having a full-fledged breakout season, but missed significant time with injury still. So yeah, I'm so on the fence about that Columbus Toronto matchup. I picked Columbus, you know, about 3 months ago when the series were revealed, and then, you know, of course now it's like you see Toronto stacking its top line and you think that should get them over the hump. Toronto's playing at home now too. Mike, what do you make of the home factor for Toronto in the East?
It's so hard to quantify. I think anyone who says that they're going to be able to say, normally you're talking like 4 to 5% in NHL when you're handicapping a game is home ice advantage. It ticks up a little bit in the playoffs. I'm just going to step away from it just because I'm not going to be able to quantify, like, you know, what does it mean for the Maple Leafs to be sleeping in their city and playing at their arena, but maybe not being in their locker room. Like, it's just, there's too many variables to feel confident that you'll be able to accurately project what home ice really means. But I think that, you know, they always say in boxing, style makes fights. And that is definitely stylistically the most intriguing kind of qualifying round. Cause you got the defense heavy Blue Jackets against the run and gun Maple Leafs. And I'm really confident that if the Blue Jackets stick to their plan, like in a best of five series, it's a coin flip. So I'm going to invest in them also just because they're going to be, you know, plus 130 or so on the series line. Like, that's for a team that can basically beat any team on any night, and they can do it consistently because of the way they play. And you mentioned Seth Jones coming back. Like, I don't know about his personal on ice impact is that big, but what he does is he frees up Werenski on that top pair to do what he does best. So I think that alone should also give them a boost. I just don't think the market has ever really had them right. It was very similar to the Islanders last year when they lost Tavares. The market just was so down on them because of that. It's a very easy thing for bettors to think about, hey, like, this team got worse. Like, I'm not going to bet on them. So bookmakers can take a risk by raising their prices and they'll get action on the other side. And I think you saw that with the Blue Jackets. And you, if you were paying attention to the way they played, especially down the stretch the season prior to this one, they were one of the best defensive teams down the last 25 games or so. So I'm, you know, all respect to our Tammy Panarin and Matt Duchene, but that's not them. Like, they're good players, they're great players in their own right, but the defense was what really made Blue Jackets so successful this year, and that didn't really change. Even the more I'm talking about it now, the more I'm convincing myself to keep paying attention to the Blue Jackets, and they're definitely a team that I'm going to keep revisiting as this playoff rolls on.
One of the biggest underdogs of the qualifying round is the Montreal Canadiens in the East, going up against history's on their side, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Is Montreal such a big underdog that it makes sense that you might want to take them in that matchup regardless of who the opponent is?
Yep. Yeah, definitely. And the Canadiens were very unlucky last year too. It's well, now they're very lucky because they, in a normal year, they wouldn't have made the playoffs. But in terms of like their on ice results, their 5-on-5 numbers were terrific. They were right up there with, you know, Vegas and Tampa Bay with the way that they kind of controlled play, and their expected goals was, I think, you know, fifth or sixth in the league when the pause happened. So this is a team that plays a really good system. They just don't really have the talent to see that process come to fruition yet. But they're a live dog, I think. I invested in them very small to win the Stanley Cup because I think 80-1 is just a ridiculous number in this setup. Like, I think if the San Jose Sharks were in here, or the Senators, or someone terrible, if they were at 150-1, you'd still take a shot on them just because the price is so good, and nobody knows what's going to come back, how these teams are going to come back. So, the Canadiens to me, like, I think them and the Blue Jackets on the Eastern Conference side are the two best bets in the best of five.
So, Mike, we threw out a question to our Twitter followers. Who is the best value bet to win the Stanley Cup? Canadiens plus 8,000, Hurricanes plus 5,000, Wild plus 6,000, Blue Jackets 6,500. 59% of the people who voted took, in your head, who do you think they took and who would you take?
So with Hamilton, I would still take the Hurricanes, but I would say that the people probably would go to the Canadiens. It's very weird that those are the four teams you chose. I wrote up a big preview, and I those are the four bets that I made a week ago. I bet Hurricanes, Blue Jackets, Canadiens, Wild. Simply, those are good 5-on-5 teams. The Wild, their Wild's goaltending is an issue, obviously, but their defensive numbers are good enough that I think if one of their goalies can play league average, they're fine. So I would guess that it was the Canadiens just because of the number and the fan base.
Well, no, the fans were all over the Hurricanes, 59%. So they were with you. I put a little shekel on the Canadiens because the value is, just like you mentioned, so
it's great
that you might as well. But just wanted to get your opinion on those four teams. And interesting, like you said, you wrote the article. I just kind of grabbed those, looking at them myself, and grabbed them and said, you know what, these four teams make some sense. So you're taking the Hurricanes, and the second team you would take in that mix would be the Blue Jackets?
Yeah, I would say the Blue Jackets after them, just because it's a very predictable style of play, and you know what you're getting out of them. Whereas like the Wild and the Canadiens both have a little bit more risk to them because you just aren't sure. I mean, the Wild are a great defensive team, but their goaltending scenario is just so out of whack compared to, you know, if Carey Price, we know where his ceiling is. If he plays even close to that, with the Canadiens being able to control 5-on-5 play the way they did, I think they're a good bet. They're probably a little bit better than the Wild. I would say the Wild would be my fourth on that list, but those are the four teams that I invested in Stanley Cup futures. But there's an interesting thing with the Hurricanes is that I actually think they're a really bad bet to win the best of five, but they're a great bet to win the Stanley Cup because, like we were saying, like the best of five, I don't want to pay any vig or any juice on a best of five coin flip, basically. But I do want to pay – I would pay – juice. If it was best of seven, I would say the Hurricanes at -130 against the Rangers, I would take it. Those two games, that extra cushion is so important, and I just want to make sure people realize that if you are going to invest on series prices, like you want to start at it like, all right, I'm going to try to make every path to success possible for the underdog, and if you can't get there, it doesn't mean you should bet on the favorite. It probably means that I'll just take a step back and enjoy this one.
I feel like the Hurricanes' like best chance to win that series is to lock the Rangers down early and finish them early. The deeper that it goes, the more that you see Panarin and Zibanejad, maybe even on the ice together in crunch time, it gets scary. And I think the Rangers would win that series if it goes to, say, game five. One question I have, because like the Rangers and Hurricanes are starting things off next Saturday, not this Saturday, with a 12 noon Eastern game. And I'm just looking ahead to these game ones. I think maybe from a betting lens, there's really good opportunity, even if you have a lopsided series in terms of all the picks, like say Vancouver or like Pittsburgh, where they're, you know, heavily favored. I think there's some nice appeal to betting the underdog in those game ones. What are your thoughts on that, Mike?
Yeah. Volatility, variance, and randomness, those things always help underdogs. So you're talking about teams that are coming back from a 5-month or 4-month break, whatever it's been, and they're going to have to be in playoff form. They're going to need to be – they're playing playoff games. So you're talking like you're – this is something we've never seen before. We just – you really want to be careful when you're paying high prices for teams in these game ones. I want to say just go blindly bet all the underdogs. I think that there are a couple short favorites that are interesting. The Flames are one. To me, that I think they're maybe in terms of all the favorites, the most undervalued. And then you got like the Islanders and Panthers, which to me like is a coin flip in a coin flip, right? Those are two very even teams. I think they play the game a little differently. You don't know if the Islanders obviously get Adam Pellick back, which is a huge thing. But the Panthers, like they just never really came, they never saw themselves like hit their ceiling. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do this because they've got talent and Sergei Bobrovsky obviously had a down year, but we know how he can play. Like he can go ahead and not lose a game the entire playoffs. Like there's so many balls in the air that you need to just think about, and you don't want to invest pay up for favorites in those kind of situations.
I wanted to ask you about the Minnesota Wild because we just made our predictions yesterday. All three of the fantasy staff here picked Vancouver to win it. I am a little bit worried about that pick. I'm not feeling confident, I'll say that. And one of the reasons why, Mike, is because the Wild, their top two defense pairings, it's Suter, Spurgeon, and Brodin Dumba, maybe probably two of the best combinations that you can get in that Western Conference. The best of five series, here's where the implication comes in. You can have those guys play the full game. You can have those two pairings play the full game for each of those five games if it goes the distance. Does that maybe make you caution people that are getting a little bit high on Vancouver right now because they have a flashy offense, because they're a little bit more of a trendier pick than the Wild?
Yeah, I think people, bettors, especially casual bettors, they kind of fall for these like more glitzy teams, and whether that means they're a big market team or they play an exciting style of hockey or have players like Pedersen and you know, Brock Besser. And the Canucks they're kind of appointment viewing for hockey fans, whether you're a Canucks fan or not. And I think that usually when you see teams like that, you should think, all right, there's probably going to be automatic value on the other side. You might not win. In fact, when you bet underdogs, you need to realize you're going to lose more often than you're going to win, but the payout should be better. And I think that the Wild play such a good structured defensive game. And you rattled off, you know, those four guys. Like if those guys were on a different team and they were playing the Canucks, like people would be talking about this defense as the best in the NHL. Like the Wild just fly under the radar, and it's unfortunate because they just haven't got the goaltending that they should have, that they kind of deserve with that defense. Like their expected goals against, I think, was 1-1-2 the past three seasons. And as a hockey bettor, the way I found success is by people, like I said, people love, they gravitate towards offense, but it's really tough to quantify how good a team's defense is. And I always think good defensive teams like the Blue Jackets and the Wild are always underrated in the market. And so, yeah, I think the Canucks are probably more likely to win the series. The Wild are the better bet.
Mike, as I look at these qualifying round series, the one that jumps out, and I hate that it's jumping out to me because I don't want to pay the high price. I also don't want to be with the public, but I think my lock where I want to go is the Oilers over Chicago at -165. But at the same time, I'm cautious there because it's a high price. To me, I don't see how Chicago can win that series, but a short series, best of five, anything could happen. What are your thoughts on that Oilers-Chicago series? Are you as high on the Oilers as I am?
I'm not. I think they're an interesting team because that power play, what they clipped at 29.5%, I think, last year. I think that's the best we've seen. If it was a full season, I think it would have been the best full season power play maybe since the 70s or something. Like, I feel less confident betting in teams with good power plays, especially now. Like, it's just not as repeatable and able to predict. I almost always just strictly focus on 5-on-5 numbers. The game is played, you know, so much more at 5-on-5 than it is on power play. So rather than investing in a team because they're power playing, because obviously, like, I don't even need to mention that, you know, Draisaitl and McDavid, but like I'd much rather take a more repeatable approach. And the Blackhawks are definitely not that. They're a bit of a run and gun team with the big defensive issues, obviously, but the offense and their goaltending ceiling are high enough that they could definitely give the Oilers a scare. Like, I don't think the Oilers should be near that price. They should. If the Oilers were like -135, +115, I probably would have just skipped right past the series. But I think at that number, it's Blackhawks or nothing. And I'm hoping that as it gets closer, that price continues to climb up, because I think people just look at the records and say the Blackhawks are the last team in this tournament, the worst record in the tournament. So I'm just going to go the other way.
If you were to take a favorite here, your favorite of the qualifying round series, where are you leaning?
The Flames. I think anything -120, I would even say like -125 is okay with the Flames. The Jets, there's no secret about like where their success came from last year. Like their 5-on-5 numbers took a dip, and now it was all about their goaltending, Connor Hellebuck. And sure, he can go right ahead and steal the series. He can steal the whole tournament if he wants. That's how, you know, hockey works, is if you have a hot goaltender, like you can win a Stanley Cup just through that. And I'd rather not bet on that. If Connor Hellebuck beats me and I'm only paying, you know, 20 cents, I'm okay with it. So I think the Flames are a better 5-on-5 team. I don't think that their futures prices are great, but I think in terms of just this qualifying round, I don't mind them.
Interesting take for sure on the Flames. We're very heavy on the Jets just in terms of their offense and what Hellebuck did. But if you do look at that blue line, they overachieved in the regular season. So
yeah,
definitely a good devil's advocate point there.
I think the thing with the Jets is, like you said, like it's talent. The talent's there, but for some, and I think it was because of the blue line, that it just put such a different burden on their forward group this season. So they just could never really get it together. They could come out of the gates flying and win the Stanley Cup, and I'll look dumb, but I can't. And with if they had one more like signal with Hellebuck, I would be much more confident in the Jets. But they just don't have that second signal with him.
I would say my only hesitation with the Flames is because their offense, they can find a new gear. It's not going to surprise anybody. But without Travis Hamonic suiting up in this postseason format, I am a little bit worried. Outside of Giordano and Brody on the top pair, you drop down to Hanifin and Rasmus Anderson, and you go one below that, you got Forbert and Gustafson. Those guys aren't the trending names on the blue line. So I guess that would be my one concern, Mike, with the Flames. Does that make you maybe think twice about it, or do you think the price is just right for them?
Yeah, definitely. I think Pamanik, and I'm an Islander fan, maybe I'm a little biased, but I think he's very underrated in the same Seth Jones kind of way. Like he is so focused on keeping that puck out of harm's way that he makes his partner's life so easy. He'll do anything it takes. And so it worries me, but I still, and not I said, like, I don't really think anything past the qualifying round is interesting to me with the Flames, but I do think in a best of five, I'm okay with paying like the short price for, I guess, the Jets.
So, Mike, speaking of the Islanders, the last time I saw you or the first time I met you was at an Islander game when they were in the midst of that tailspin right before the pause. They got blown out by Montreal. So that was where the Islanders were. Now you mentioned it, they're in a really tight series against Florida, who they beat in the playoffs a couple years ago. Florida actually is splitting up its lines. They have Huberdeau with Haula and Barkov with Dadonov on separate lines during training camp, which I think is really interesting and helps them. What is your pick for that series, you know, bias fan aside?
I'm not confident in the Islanders at all. I think if these two teams played 82 times, the Islanders would probably win more than the Panthers just because of their style. But I just don't know if in a five-game series, like the Panthers have the game-breaking talent that or more game-breaking talent than the Islanders do. And one of those players is Bobrovsky, who I think people are going to be down on him just because he had a bad year. But he's goaltending is so hard to project game to game, minute to minute, that he can easily, you know, he can be on form right from the puck drop. We saw what he did against the Lightning last year, and like he's really scary. I think goaltenders who have shown that elite ceiling, him and Corey Crawford and you know, Hellebuck, like these guys can easily, you know, run through a table pretty quickly. So I just think there's the Panthers probably just get like one extra check mark in their column against the Islanders. Obviously, I'll be rooting like heck for the Islanders, but if I would have to make a bet, I would probably bet on the Panthers.
And I think, Pete, too, with those line combinations broken up, of course you could look at that and say, well, maybe they're a little bit weaker without the explosive pair, the explosive duo of Barkov and Huberdeau together. But I think that's actually a positive for them. Coach Q can now match up two 90-point guys against the Islanders' first and second line, which, I mean, outside of Barzal, I mean, you've got no one putting up big numbers there. So I think they've got a real big advantage now in their line combinations. And Coach Q is a guy, obviously, he could find a way to take advantage of those matchups with a game within a game. Obviously, you've got Quenneville going against Trotz, who's no slouch at that either. But I just think when you break it down like that, you spread out the depth a little bit, you have to favor Florida slightly now just based on those preliminary reports.
Yeah, I think Trotz is definitely a guy that maybe slightly checks a box over the Panthers. I do give Trotz an edge over Quenneville just because of recent history. I mean, when he was with the Blackhawks, right, it was kind of trending downhill for reasons outside of his control, really. But obviously, Florida didn't really live up to its potential this year. We were high on them last year. They disappointed us. We were high on them again, and they were still just a fringe playoff team all season long. So, Mike, when you talk about Florida, they probably have a better chance than the Islanders to go really deep in this tournament. Do you view Florida as a dark horse because of the goaltending, because of a decent defense and a pretty star-studded forward group?
Yeah, I think so. There were two teams that were kind of the last teams off my list on futures bets, and I chose the Wild and Canadiens over them, and they were the Blackhawks and the Panthers, and the Blackhawks was strictly priced. Like, this is an 80-to-1 team, and with two really good players that in a very unknown environment, there's automatically going to be a little bit of value there. And the Panthers were the other one; they were 60-to-1 at some sports books, and with Bobrovsky and Quinn, like there's so many good parts to this team that they just never came together. It was a little confusing. And like I said, I just don't know. There's no reason not to believe, like there's nothing saying that they're definitely not going to come together for this tournament. Like, why, you know, who knows? So they're definitely interesting. And I think if the way I'm going to, I think, play them is if they do beat the Islanders and we start to see how that round robin starts shaping up, if they may avoid Tampa or Boston, I think their price won't adjust that much. They might be in like the 45 to 55 range. Definitely worth a shot.
I like that strategy with the Panthers, and I would agree with you. They're sort of a fringe team that I would take to win the Stanley Cup. Mike, when you take a look at the round robin scenario, do you have any interest in either conference in betting on these round robin games? They don't mean much. Really difficult to get a beat on these games. If I were to take a team, it would be a team that has huge value, like the Flyers, like Dallas. Where do you stand on these round robin games? Stay away or get involved?
I think I'm going to stay away, probably. Just, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know how they're gonna, these teams are going to come out. Like a team like the Bruins, because that tiebreaker is so helps them so much. Like that first game, are they just going to treat it like another exhibition game? I really don't know. So I think the Stars of these teams, the Stars are the team with the most futures value. They have the biggest number. I think they're between like 15 and 16 to 1 in the market. And they're being priced so much further down than Colorado. They're double the price of Colorado. Basically, they're about half the price or 1.5 times the price of St. Louis. They're a little bit deeper than Vegas. And I just think that the Stars are probably, just because of that, I think the Stars are probably, I think I hold them a little bit below in terms of like overall talent than Colorado and St. Louis, but I think because of the price and the goaltending, they're probably the most interesting of the favorites. And I mean, I haven't even talked about the Knights yet, but I think that they're also a team I'm going to keep an eye on. Their price is way, way too short to bet on right now, but let's say they stumble in game one or something. I think if that price jacks up so much, they're an interesting longer-term investment.
Value aside, who's your favorite to come out of the West?
Yeah, I think Vegas, actually. I think like just their 5-on-5 numbers are spectacular, and their goaltending now is just – I mean, is there a better combination in the – you're going to need two goaltenders, I think, in this tournament because you just don't – even if you use them, you're going to need two good goaltenders just because you don't know. What if, you know, Robin Leonard or Marc-Andre Fleury – you know, come out of the gates and they stumble, like you got the other one there. And then if that guy, you know, maybe loses form, then you got the other one again. So I just think that is such a huge edge over other teams. And I think between them and the Stars, just having that 1-2 pairing, I think you can maybe throw the Avalanche in there too with their goaltending. But I think Vegas's 5-on-5 numbers and their goaltending makes them the team. Like if you had asked me, if you gave me same odds on every team in the league and you said pick the Stanley Cup, make a bet on the Stanley Cup matchup, I would say it would be the Lightning and the Knights.
Nice. And one underrated move before the trade deadline that not many people are probably thinking about right now, but Alec Martinez, we remember what he did to finish off the Rangers in the Stanley Cup final to win the trophy. And of course, he joins the Golden Knights defense, which makes it that much stronger. So that's a really good element of Vegas to go along with the elite goalie tandem and help those guys out on the opposite end, you know?
Oh yeah, I love Alec Martinez. He's good with me for life for that goal. And you know, him and Adam Henrique. I always say I have a couple of friends who work at the Coliseum, and I always say that every time those guys come to the Coliseum, they should get a tribute video. I think, you know, like when old players come back, like Adam Henrique's name should be in the rafters at the Coliseum. To me, he's one of my favorite Islanders, even though he never played for them.
Just to keep things in order for the listeners, Mike, and I know you probably are going to have to repeat yourself, but your best bet in the qualifying round and your best futures bet, I think I know where you're going with your best futures bet, Hurricanes, based on what you said earlier, your best qualifying round bet before we let you go.
It's probably the Blue Jackets. It's very close between the Blue Jackets and the Wild, I'd say. It's going to come down to where the rosters are with injuries and stuff, but I would totally – say either one of those teams, but right now if they were playing tomorrow, I would say the Blue Jackets.
Nice, really good stuff, Mike. Appreciate you joining us, and best of luck with all your bets come playoff time.
Yeah, thanks guys. I was happy to be here anytime. I'll hop on.
Hey, before we let you go, Mike, we got opening night baseball, and we got some baseball fan listeners. To me, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm taking Garrett Cole on the mound. It's opening night. I'm betting it. I don't love the price.
Yeah.
I know the public's all over it. You're probably not going to like the price. But give me your best bet here, opening night baseball.
I'm probably going to do – I'm in the same boat as you. I'm not a great baseball bettor at all. But I want to root for the Yankees. And, you know, it's been months. So I'm going to bet the Yankees, knowing full well that I'm paying a tax on them here.
Very nice. All right, Mike. Thanks again, man.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Some good takes there from Mike, and you can catch him on Twitter at the Big Lebowski. Again, Michael Leboff from the Action Network. You can catch his stuff on the Action Network as well. One thing I just wanted to react to here, guys, his favorite in the East, we just heard it there, a glimpse, tail end of the program, was the Lightning. I feel like we've got to go around the horn here and throw out someone else that we all like in the East because of the Lightning's track record with bettors in the past few years.
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. I mean, I think that, again, with like a team like Toronto, there you take it for what it's worth. But if that team finally breaks through in the first round and then runs into a Boston or a Tampa Bay, I do give them a chance. I mean, that said, I did pick the Lightning to make the Cup final at the beginning of the season. And the more you look at some of these things and look at history and motivation, I think it's a really good pick. I'm not sure that I trust Pittsburgh. I'm not even sure that I trust Washington. So, and even the Flyers now, like, they get some good news where they re-sign Oscar Lindblom and he might be able to come back for the playoffs. But now Carter Hart, you look at them completely differently. So, yeah, I'm really murky on the Eastern Conference, especially that Metro Division. The more, I mean, like, I feel like with some of these concerns, like with Boston and stuff, and even Tampa Bay's concerns, like, the Rangers, if they get hot, could go really far this playoffs. If it's a fluky type, unique set of circumstances, which we expect, I really think the Rangers will be dangerous the more that they win.
To me, as I look at the Eastern teams, and Pete is, I think you're a little, your concerns, you're too paranoid. I think you're too paranoid about Boston's concerns. I think you're too paranoid about Tampa's concerns. The three teams I would focus on is Tampa, or four teams, Tampa, Toronto, Boston, and I would take the Capitals. I know the Capitals are a country club team, but, and I'm not sure how motivated they are to even be in this bubble and all that sort of stuff, but those are the four teams I'm looking out in the East. And I'm not getting all wrapped up in the concerns with Boston just yet. I mean, they have an entire round robin series to get ready to go. So I'm staying cautious in that sense.
Makes sense. Last year I was higher on Boston than I was Tampa Bay. This year is the opposite, for what it's worth. Just want to put that out there.
And I think, just to not to beat a dead horse here, but the East, when you're looking at the East versus the West, it's clear who we all like in the West. We kind of all have a unanimous feeling about the three teams that we think are almost confident that are definitely going to be there in the East. It's like you kind of have to look at, I do think, Pete, that these concerns about Boston are somewhat justified. I wouldn't say, you know, all out on Boston, but I do think it's worth noting. And then one last point for me here. I think Washington is the only team that doesn't have those huge concerns. The only thing with Washington here, guys, is that they don't have that great second goalie yet. I'm not sure if Samsonov is ready. He hasn't even practiced once with the Caps yet in this training camp. So I don't know if they have that guy to fall back on if Holtby continues to struggle in the postseason like he did in the regular season.
And one thing we wanted to mention again, like, we want to emphasize that this is all for fun and entertainment, and we're not encouraging anybody to gamble on the NHL. That said, Mike Leboff definitely laid out some nice underlying numbers, some nice trends for bettors that could translate here. And I think it's just a really exciting time for the NHL because it's always such a fickle, unpredictable postseason, right, Rob? And then, like, now you have this extra layer where you don't even know if experience will help you come next Saturday and Sunday. So it's going to be crazy.
Well, it definitely should be entertaining. And we'll, guys, keep you posted next week here as well as we get closer and closer and hopefully more news comes out. But that'll do it for us today. I'm at NHL Reese, Petey's at NHL Jensen, and Bobby's at Airchecked.
Thanks, fellas. Yep. Put the hammer down on the Yankees tonight. Let's go. Going to take care of Rob's Nationals. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Baseball's coming back. Hockey's coming back next week. Good times all around for sure. So for Michael Leboff, Rob Reese, Bob Bender, Pete Jensen, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Hockey is back next week. Can't wait to break it all down here on NHL Fantasy on Ice.